After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. You remember he showed himself twice now. This is the third time. At the Sea of Tiberias, which is Galilee. That's just the Roman name for it. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. We don't know who those other two were necessarily, but Simon Peter in verse number 3 saith unto them, this is before the Lord showed himself, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I don't know if you've ever been fishing and caught nothing, but I have. Verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. That's what I was saying this morning. At this point, before the fish ever got in the net, their minds had to be going back to the same thing that's happened to them before. The Lord's done the same thing to them when he came and called them to be fishers of men, when he first called them to be disciples. So cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, the one who's writing this letter unto us, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. I don't think he was completely naked. I mean, people just don't fish naked. At least maybe they do today, but they probably didn't then. I don't know. But he didn't have his outer garment on, basically, is what they're saying there, what John's telling us. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were, must have been a lot for the net they had, for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Or yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst or dare ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And we'll stop reading there, but you know, further is where Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And asked him three times. Let's go once again to the Lord in prayer, and we'll, Lord willing, look at these 14 verses that we have here before us this morning. Father, we just ask that you bless the reading and the preaching of your word, the hearing of your word this morning, that you would open our eyes that we might see things that we need to see, understand things that we need to understand. Father, at the point of each and every one of our Christian walks here this morning, where we are in our faith, where we are in our relationship with you, and where we need to be, Father, that we might be able to see those things and understand those things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The miracle in John 21 here that we've just read, and it is a miracle. Some people might say, well, you know, I don't know how much of a miracle that is. They didn't catch any in the night. Well, that morning they threw the net over and they didn't. Well, that would be, I think, a little bit likened to ye of little faith for us to take that kind of a stance there. But the miracle here in John 21 stands alone in this way, that it is a miracle the Lord performed after that he was resurrected from the dead. It's the only one that we have recorded. You know, there were others likely, because we know we read last in John chapter 20, in verse number 30, it said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But this one we have recorded. And so we have to ask ourselves, why this one? Why this one miracle? If there were others that were done, there were other things that were done of the acts of the early church and of the things that our Lord did. That in another place in Scripture we read that all those things have been written down. We've mentioned that recently. The world couldn't contain the books. And so we could ask ourselves in a broader sense, why these things? Why do we have these things? Why these particular things? Do the other things have no meaning? Do they have no value? I don't think we could say that. I think that we'll find out about some of those things that weren't recorded in this book. But what God did give us in this book, we know is what we need. Now, the Scripture is written, you know, for our learning and for our understanding and for our wisdom, what we have written in the Word of God. We don't have to look elsewhere. We don't have to go beyond, you know, this book and try to find, well, you know, there was these other books that somebody said, you know, that should have been contained within the canon of the books that are here. There should have been more. We need to go read those books. Well, not if we believe that God is sovereign, and not if we believe that God is able to, throughout history, direct men, guide men, to put what's in this book in our hands. I don't think we have to think that way. But why this one miracle? I think we can say the same thing about it. The Lord's given us this one here after His resurrection for a reason. For a reason. There's something that we need to see there. Now, I tell you, I read a lot of commentators on this passage of Scripture. A lot of them are just silent. They don't say much. And it's almost like they'll take other passages of Scripture within the Gospel of John and they'll make spiritual application and spiritualize it, you know, in a sense, because we're spiritual minded people. You know, to see a lesson that's in there. But it seems here some of them want to back off and not do the same. And I don't quite understand, you know, why that is. I think one reason could be is because this is kind of an appendix. As far as most of them are concerned, that this is something that was written by John after he wrote the other 20 chapters. And that this was kind of tacked on, you know, later. And so maybe they have some reservations because of that. I'm not sure. But besides all that, here it is. And it's a miracle that's put before us that the Lord did after He was resurrected from the dead. And why this one? And why did He perform this miracle? You know, what is it that we ought to learn and see in this? What is it the disciples understood from it? There's some of the questions that we probably ought to ask ourselves as we're going through it. This miracle, as I've already alluded to on more than one instance this morning, is similar to what these disciples had witnessed and we have recorded for us. I believe it's in Luke chapter 5, if you want to turn over there. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, that's page 754 in the Pew Bible. Luke 5, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake. This is the same lake. It's Gennesaret here, but it's Galilee. Just another name. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, or Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Or for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Does that sound familiar? They're out there all night. And have taken or caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Now, we're not talking about a little skiff. We're talking about ships. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all they that were with him at the catch or draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also, or so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth, from this day forward, ye shall catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, already you may be thinking in this way, as having read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and having read John 21, verses 1 through 15, and seeing the similarities that are there, and picking out of what Luke 5 says, that they're going to catch men with a gospel net. It's not going to be a physical fishing net, but they're going to be fishers of men, Scripture says. And also that they left all and followed him. I think that this miracle that's done here by the Lord before the disciples was for this purpose. That was where they started. They started in that ship, seeing the Lord perform that first miracle, him telling them they were going to be fishers of men. They forsook all and followed him. Now he's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been raised again from the dead. He's not going to be with them physically anymore like he was before. He is at this moment still appearing unto them. This is the third time. But soon he's going to be taken up into heaven. Okay? So he's not going to be there physically with them. But through this, I think the Lord is reminding them of why he called them and what he called them to, and that they need to continue to follow him. You know, that would be something I think that would be important for them to understand, as the Lord would soon depart and they would not see him, you know, literally with their eyes any longer. So I think that we may interpret this present sign by the past one in Luke chapter 5 and see it in that way through the eyes of the disciples, that this was something that the Lord was doing so that they could have that commission that they were being given, you know, renewed, as it were. And that the assurance also, I think the second part of that would be the assurance also that their labor is not in vain. You know, you can go out, you can toil all you want to. I can preach to people till I'm blue in the face, you know, or red in the face, you know, whichever way you want to look at it. I can't do anything in and of myself. I can do what I'm responsible to do. I can preach the gospel. You can do what you're responsible to do. You can witness to people. I can witness to people, but I can't save them. I'm called to do that. I'm called to witness to them. I'm called to preach the gospel, but I can't save them. Not in and of myself. And so there they were out there toiling all night, and they caught nothing in both instances. Then the Lord says, "Let down the net." And they brought in such a haul that they were having trouble dragging the net, you know, to land. So I think that it is a renewed assurance also that the Lord would be with them. Even though he's not going to be with them physically, he's going to be with them. He's going to continue to be with them. He did tell them, "I'll be with you always, even unto the end, you know, of the world." It's just going to be a different way that he's with them than the way that he has been with them, you know, before. So I think the miracle which our Lord works here was designed to assure them that just as he had prospered their efforts before, been with them, provided for them in all the ways that he had while he was with them in the flesh, they could continue to count on that. That was going to continue. His guidance, his power, his blessing, though he would be physically absent from them, he would continue to be with them. I think that was important for them. I mean, if you try to put yourself in the disciples' shoes, here they've been looking for the Messiah. The Messiah appears on the scene. They follow him for 3 years, and they're not in this 3 years. They're not seeing any end of this. They're seeing the kingdom of God being ushered in and things just going forward and going on and getting grander and grander. And truly, they have. And truly, they will, you know, for us all. But you have to think about the discouragement and disappointment, in a sense, from their lack of understanding what that kingdom would be. Again, I point back to the two, you know, disciples on the road to Emmaus and the Lord appearing unto them. They didn't recognize who he was. They had the same sort of thing here. You know, they knew who it was just by what he had done. There was something about the Lord's glorified body that they didn't automatically recognize who he was. At the tomb, Mary didn't recognize him. You know, and the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. Here, they don't automatically, immediately recognize who he is, other than by what he's done and what he's, you know, saying, you know, unto them. But certainly, we can see, I think, that the Lord was doing this so that would be renewed within them, so that they would understand that even though he wouldn't be with them physically, that he would still be with them. They would not lack ability to do that which he had sent them forth to do, because that would come from him. It wouldn't be in their ability. Like I said, letting them in the nets, they catch nothing. I can preach to them blue in the face. I can catch nothing. But I'm called to minister the gospel. I'm called to witness. I'm called to be a witness. And the Lord will add daily such as should be saved, as the book of Acts talks about. You know, we would have more. We ought to pray. We ought to seek the Lord over people. And whether it be our own children, it be our grandchildren, it be, you know, people in our families, it be people in the community, it be people in the workplace, it be just for the sake of the gospel going forth in other nations where we know that there are people that are laboring. You may know their names personally, you may not, you know, but we ought to pray. We ought to seek the Lord for the salvation of these, and for the gospel to go forth and have this success of the net drawing in, the gospel net being put out there and drawing in those that they might be saved. But this was so that they could count on his ability, not on their own. You know, sure, I could take somebody and I could corner them and I could tell them, you know, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And I could go through a whole list of things and say, well, if you'll just do this, you'll be saved. And I ought to tell them how they can be saved, how they can have eternal life. But I can't pronounce salvation upon them. You know, it's like a king knighting somebody, you know, you're now a knight. I can't do that. God's got to do a work in their hearts. I can't give them a new heart. You can't give them a new heart. They have to be given one of those from God. Why did you come? It's because God changed you. God totally rewired you. Why don't you act the way that you used to act? Why don't you do the things that you used to do? Why don't you have the same interests? Why don't you indulge yourself in the same sins that you once did? It's because you've been changed. You've been born again. You know. They were out there. They cast the net down. They caught nothing. I think, you think about that. When did the Lord appear? When did the Lord show himself unto them? When did the Lord come? He told them to go and wait for him. They're there waiting. And Peter says, well, you know, while we're waiting, they were poor men. Let's go fishing. Some people, you know, want to say that they did this and they left their calling. You know, they went back to what they were before. I don't necessarily see that. There's nothing inherently evil about, you know, fishing any more than there is these chips that Teresa likes that I'll bring home sometimes. And she calls them evil chips. They're not really evil. She's called them that so much that the little girls now are saying, I want some evil chips. But there's nothing wrong with fishing. You know, there's nothing evil about fishing. And that's what they were doing. They were just providing for themselves and feeding themselves while they were waiting in the place that the Lord had called them to wait. And so it was at that time, though, that the Lord does appear when they had been out there all night toiling and caught nothing. That the Lord appears and says, put down your net on the right side of the boat and you'll bring in a catch. But it does show us about our lack. I mean, these men were professional fishermen. I don't think they were just rusty after being with the Lord for 3 years. You know, these men were professional fishermen. They knew how to fish. But anybody who fishes knows you go sometimes even when you know how to catch fish and you don't catch anything. But shows us that in our own physical ability, we're not able. Now, they were out there fishing. We could say that too. We need to be out there fishing. You need to be out there fishing. Where you are, where the Lord's put you. You know, in the neighborhood that you're in the workplace where you are, you know, in amongst your family, you need to be fishing. I need to be fishing all the time. I'm not fishing necessarily for a decision. A lot of churches do that. They fish for a decision. You know, what I'm fishing for is that a person would know the power of God, the power of the gospel in their life. That's what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking to see God do a work in them. You know, it's not going to be because necessarily what I say, the Lord may use what I say, but it's not just a string of words put together. You know, it's not a series of questions necessarily put together that saves every man that I can set those before. I mean, if that were the case, who would be lost? Why would there be anybody lost? God's got to do a work. And sometimes that work is done years later after the person that spoke to them is dead and gone. I know that there's been people that I know that are preachers that their mother prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them. Their mother died. They came to know the Lord and began to preach the gospel, you know. But their mother never saw that. Their mother died praying for them. I'm sure probably on her deathbed, she was probably praying the Lord might save her son. You know, we've got to be out there fishing. We've got to be out there casting the net. But what gets caught in the net? See, that's not up to you and me, is it? Because if it was, then Peter and John and James would have had a whole bunch of fish in that net after being out there all night. Who wants to go fishing all night and not catch anything? They were out there for the purpose of not catching anything. They just want to get their net wet. You know, they wanted to catch something. The Lord was the one that provided the fishes in the net. So you and I need to be out there fishing. But what gets caught in the net is going to be up to the Lord. You know, it's going to be up to Him. We're not able to put the fish in the net. We're only able to cast the net. And it shows us what God is able to do when we find ourselves unable and think that it's impossible. I mean, they probably came to shore thinking that, or were about to head to shore. In this instance, they'd already been to shore in Luke chapter 5. They'd already put up all their equipment, more than likely. They were finished. They'd been out there all night. They were tired. They wanted to go home and go to bed in Luke chapter 5. And the Lord says, cast out a little bit from the land. And He speaks to the people and He says, go out into the deep and let down your net. Now, there was something stirring in the hearts of those men that caused them to do that after being out there all night. Being slack wore out. Not having caught anything. And then here's this man telling us that we need to go back out there. You know, they didn't really know Him the way that they now know Him, you know, in Luke chapter 5 then. But at His word, they went out and they cast the net and brought in or brought up so many fish that the net began to break, and they had to call to their friends to come and help them. But think about this lake, this place where the Lord has sent the disciples. And again, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their place where they are distraught. In this, I mean, the Lord has appeared unto them again, but things, how are things going to be now? The Lord's just not going to be with us like He was. I mean, we followed Him everywhere that He went. And He was at the forefront all the time. You know, we were kind of like supporting cast members in a sense. You know, He had the lead. And well, as it should be. And it shouldn't be any different for us now. He still has the lead. We just got to let down the net. And once get caught, it's going to get caught in it. But things were going to be different for them. He wasn't going to be there. You know, we don't have that experience. We've never had a time that we've had the Lord with us for 3 years and then he's taken away. But they did. But this place, this lake where they are. Think about this lake. We already read in Luke chapter 5 what happened there. But this same lake is where the Lord walked on water. And they're being called back to this place for a reason. He walked on water there. He said unto the wind and the waves, peace be still in this place. Here Peter took a coin out of a fish's mouth, you know, because of the tax collector. And Peter took that money out to go pay the appointed, you know, tax. This very same place. Here it was on the multitude, a multitude of people on the banks of this place were fed by the Lord. So thinking about all that in this one place, can we not see, I think, that this is why the Lord called them here and then performed this similar miracle that he had performed before back there in Luke chapter 5 that we read about? I think the Lord certainly had a purpose in appearing to them here and reminding them of what he had done before in their midst, that they didn't need now to doubt him. You know, like Thomas, we saw last time that he had doubted that the Lord had raised again from the dead. They didn't need, they were all subject to doubt. We're all subject to doubt. And we can all fall prey to doubt. But reminding them that they didn't need to doubt his ability. They didn't need to doubt his presence, his power, his wisdom, his love. I mean, think about that. Just think about that for a second. Just what I said last, love. Here, they went fishing because they were hungry, I'm sure, is the reason why they're out there on that lake fishing. Now, certainly, they bring in more than they eat. You know, it's going to provide some money to sustain them and their livelihood. Some of them, you know, having families, even. So they've been toiling out there all night. They come to shore. They're likely pretty hungry. You think about the Lord's love for them. Think about He who cast the stars out into the heaven where they are, spoke worlds into existence, hears every thought of every person upon the face of the earth every day, every care, every cry, every concern, knows it all, knows the thoughts and intents of a man's heart, rules and runs the universe, so to speak. And where do we find him? He's here on the shore with these disciples, and he's provided them breakfast to feed them. They're hungry, and he feeds them. I'm going to take care of your physical needs as well. I think that it says all this, you know, unto us. And also to stir their hearts to go forth into the ministry and being in this place where all these things have happened. All this history is here upon this water. Directing their hearts and minds and settling them in who he was, who he is, who he was, and what he was unto them and would be unto them. Continue to be unto them. Now, not all of them are here. Have you noticed that? There's seven of them here if you count them. Who's somebody that's there that wasn't there before? Thomas. He's not going to miss out again. We don't necessarily have him mentioned as a fisherman that I know of before, but he's there now. And I'm going to be with y'all wherever y'all go. I'm not missing anything, you know, anymore. But there were a few that did. And I think that says something to us, too, about Thomas. And here Thomas was. He had missed before seeing the Lord. The Lord had appeared to him just for his benefit. The others had seen the Lord. The other 10 had seen the Lord. Thomas hadn't. He appears just for Thomas's benefit, it seems. Certainly for the others too, but specifically for Thomas. You know, when we're showed things, like Thomas was showed that, you know, we ought to be like Thomas. Thomas was found right there in the thick of things. You know, I'm not going to miss out again. And so when the Lord shows us something, I mean, we need to act on it and take full advantage of it, that we not miss opportunities. I think in general, I mean, this is what the Lord's saying unto the disciples and is saying unto us, what we've talked about thus far. Philippians 4:13 says, "My God shall supply all of your needs, not just some of them, but all of your needs in Christ Jesus." That was being said to the disciples. I'm sending you forth. You're going to be fishers of men. You cast out your net. Sometimes you may be discouraged and thinking that, you know, there's just not anything being done. You know, we're not catching anything. But the net casting is your part. You cast the net. The fish are my part. I'll cause the fish to be caught in the net. And all of your needs shall be supplied according to His riches. You know, Paul talks about that, doesn't he? The breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ that passes our understanding, our knowing. You know, we just don't understand even how much God cares. You know, we see something of it here in the disciples and the meal that's been prepared for them. The Lord just taking care of all of their needs. Serves them breakfast. Says unto them, "Come and dine. I'm here." In other words, though I'm going to ascend, I'm still here. Ask in my name and it shall be, you know, granted unto you. I'm still here. Come and dine at any time. Makes me think of the passage in Revelation, right? "And behold, the Lord stands at the door and knocks. You know, if any man hear my voice and open, I'll come in and sup, you know, with him." The Lord's there all the time. We talked about that this morning, about the fact that you can sit down at the table, as it were, with the Lord anytime. Anytime. You have access unto the Father anytime because of Christ. Riches in Christ Jesus supply all of your needs through those riches that are in Christ, that are ours because of Christ. We have access unto the Father. We can come anytime. And we've given that illustration before that you don't have access, you know, to... I would imagine that... I don't have to imagine, I'm sure of it, that the president's wife and children don't have access to him even any time. There are times when he has to be taken to, you know, a certain place doing a certain thing that they aren't a part of. And those are his own children, his own wife. When kings, you know, ruled the land, that you as a subject didn't have access to that king all the time. You didn't have the king's ear. Even those that were in his company all the time, part of his court, didn't have access to him all the time. We have access unto the Father. We can come, the Lord saying, "Come and dine." We can come and dine any time. Any need we have, we can lay at his feet, great or small. He's not saying unto us, "You know, that's really kind of a tiny thing. You need to take care of that yourself. You know, I don't want to be bothered with those little things like that. You bring the big stuff to me. Aren't I a God that's worthy of big stuff? Aren't I a big God? I take care of the big stuff only?" No. God doesn't say that unto us. We're to cast all of our cares, all of our concerns, all of our needs upon Him. That's the relationship that He wants to have with us, that He desires to have with us. You ever think about it that way? You ever think about it from the perspective that God wants to commune with us? That's the standing and knocking at the door. Because we're not always in that frame of mind. We're not always in that frame of spirit. We ought to be. We ought to be. Come and dine. All the time. We sang about that. And that's why I called out that hymn. I kind of sprung that on Rebecca. I didn't tell her I was going to call that out. You know, but it's right here in our text. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come sit at the same table with me. I'm here anytime. Come sit at the same table with me. come and dine. What union we have with Christ. We have such a union that we can come to Him at any moment, any time. It's unfathomable in really any other relationship, you know, that we have with anybody else. And I think this is what it's saying unto the disciples. I don't think that these points that we've tried to make, things that we've tried to bring out of what's before us here, escape them. I'm sure that Luke chapter 5, though they wouldn't refer to it that way. You know, we reference Luke chapter 5. But I'm sure that moment there in Luke chapter 5 came before them. I'm sure the other things that had happened on this lake came before them. I'm sure that they got the message. And especially if we go on through and beginning in verse number 15, the Lord asked Simon, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times. "Feed my sheep." You know, the commission I'm giving, nothing's changed. Go forth. Go forth. Well, there's probably more that we could say upon that this morning, but we're already out of time again. But I think the points that we've made, the things that we've seen, that the disciples saw, that we need to see, that we need to understand, we need to have that same vision that they had, you know, of the Lord and being our provider and being the one who puts the fish in the net, that we're responsible to go out there and cast the net, you know, but the fish getting in it, you know, that's not something we can do. That's something that He's going to have to do, that we have to depend upon Him, look unto Him. It's divine, you know, power. It's not necessarily our own strength, even though we may be professional fishermen. You know, it's not our own strength that's going to do this. It's something that He must do. I mean, when it gets down to the heart, we can witness to people. We can read Scripture to them. We can pray with them. We can witness to them. We can tell them about our own experience with the Lord. But when it gets right down to it, and these things becoming a matter of their heart, that's something that the Lord's going to have to do. He's going to have to lay hold of that. I can't reach in there and pluck that thing out and put a new one in, you know. Not even if I was a heart surgeon. You know, I couldn't do it. Can't do it. I can't take and rewire a person that is accustomed to doing evil and cause them to do good. Can't do that. The prison tries to do that all the time, trying to reform, you know, people. Doesn't work real well. You know, I think the ones it works with are probably the ones that the Lord saves, you know, for the most part. But no doubt Peter, throughout those days that went ahead, thought about this, you know, a lot. And it would do us well to meditate upon it and think about it some ourselves. But just those words there, "Come and dine." The Lord just didn't invite them to sit down on that shore that one time. He invites us all. Come and dine. Come and sup with Him. Come and commune with Him. Our Heavenly Father desires, seeks such, Scripture says, to worship Him. He doesn't require sacrifice. Scripture says what He desires is obedience. You know, some people just sacrifice. They never obeyed. You know, what He's looking for is obedience. It's to the contrite heart we talked about this morning. It's the humble. It's the meek. Those are the ones to whom He looks. Amen. Let's stand. Go once again to the Lord in prayer.